lift up our hands unto the Lord and let's bless the God of our salvation. Let's give him thanks and praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice in him. Let's be glad. Let's rejoice in him and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. This day the Lord has blessed us graciously. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. He's the God that has forgiven you of all your iniquities, forgiven me my iniquities. He's the God that has healed our diseases. He has delivered us from destruction. He crowned us with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. He satisfied our mouth with good things, renewed our youth like the eagle, execute righteousness and justice on behalf of them that are oppressed. What a mighty God. He made his ways known unto us. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him praise. He's a good God. He's a righteous God. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Once again, today is our fasting day. And I believe, God, that we all have been fasting. A time of fasting is a time of eye-opening, where God opened the eyes of his people. It's a time of encounter. Therefore, I want you to open your mouth and ask God and say, God, speak to me today. Open my eyes today. Cause a word to come for me today. Cause my word to come for me today. Speak to me, Lord, directly, personally speak to me. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I am here before you today. Speak to me, Lord. Let my word come, Lord. Let my word come, O Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let my word come. The Bible says, until the word of the Lord came, the word of God tried him. Let my word come today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for refreshing our souls tonight. Thank you, Father, for the banquet that you have prepared for us tonight.
Thank you, Lord,
we say thank you.
Thank you,
speak to us, Lord. Yes, we are gathered here at your feet to receive from you.
Yes,
thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I welcome you to your year of awesome deeds once again in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. This month of June is our month of season of enlargement. God wants to enlarge you. It is his desire to enlarge you. God always desires to bless his children. That's one thing God loves doing more than any other thing, to bless his children. As a father, the same thing with me. And I'm sure for you, the same thing. You just love to bless your children. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The blessings of the Lord will be coming upon you. As you take the necessary steps, God will begin to enlarge you in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more. That means God's plan for you and I is a continuous progress. That's what God planned for you and I. To have continuous progress in life. Progress in all dimensions. It is his plan. For the redeemed, that's the plan of God. God wants us to continually experience progress, making progress on all sides. He says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter. Yesterday can never be better than today.
Amen.
Today will always be better than yesterday.
Amen.
This week will be better than last week.
Amen.
This month will be better than last month.
Amen.
This year will be better than last year.
Amen.
That shall be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will never have a better last year.
Amen.
You will never have a better last year.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord shall rest upon you seriously.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
For every Wednesday, we shall be looking at kingdom focus for enlargement. The focus on the kingdom brings enlargement to every area of your life. Our anchor scripture is taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 to 3. He says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nation and make the desolate cities inhabited.
Amen.
Whatever has looked as it has been abandoned, or whatever looks as if it was forgotten, it shall be restored.
Amen.
It shall be restored.
Amen.
Listen to me, people of God. Enlargement is all over you. It's all around you.
Amen.
It's in you.
Amen.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Last Wednesday, we said that the laborers are few. And I want to emphasize it again. I want you to know that you are part of this few that God has chosen.
Amen.
I will be saying it until you believe it. You are part of this few that God, the harvest is huge. We are in a very, very huge harvest. But the laborers are few. And God has promised to take care of the laborers. God has promised that he will prune you. Whatever is not working in your life, he will prune it. He will remove it so that you can bear more fruits. It is his delight. Because as you bear more fruit, he will begin to grant your desires. And that's the enlargement we're talking about. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 9 verse 37, you see there, it says the laborers are few. Are you getting that? The laborers are few. God wants to bless you. God wants to. So it is be excited that you are part of these few laborers.
Mm.
Be excited that God has found you as one of these few laborers. You can imagine. If you have few soldiers, you want to equip them with the best. You want to give them the best. You want to make sure that they are well taken care of because they are your fighting force. And that's what God is doing with us in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So as we begin to labor, please understand, you know, I've said it again and again. It is the laborers in the kingdom of God, though. It is the laborers that are blessed, not supervisors, not pastors, not members. It is the laborer. So make yourself a laborer. He said the laborers are few. The laborers are few. If you read John chapter 4, you will see it there. He said the laborers will receive wages. The laborers, they receive wages. The laborers get paid for being a laborer. Laboring in the kingdom of God. Focusing on the kingdom of God as you labor. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want you to know that Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the first thing to seek. And once you seek the kingdom of God, that is all you need to seek. Every other thing shall be added unto you. So you must put the kingdom first in your life. Put the kingdom first in your life. In your decisions, let the kingdom of God be there. When you are taking decisions, before you take decisions, consult the kingdom of God. How will this affect the kingdom of God? How will this decision affect the kingdom of God? And if it is negative, don't do it. Now look at this. Luke chapter 12 verse 32. The Bible says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes, he said you should seek it, and it is his good pleasure to give it to you. And as you seek it, it will cause you to find it. You will find in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
You will find in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Please, people of God, let me say it again. Laborers are the ones that receive wages in this kingdom. Laborers, they are the ones that, not supervisors. It is laborer. Every one of us need to labor. Every one of us needs to labor. It is very, very important. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says something. that when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Did you see that? That's the first thing. Thy kingdom come. After worship, when you start to pray, the first thing is thy kingdom, and it is the major thing. It is the major. It is the major thing, please. Understand that it is not one of the prayers you pray. It is the major prayers. It is the major prayer. Understand, if you get this point, it will every other. It is the major prayer. Remember, Matthew chapter 6, where I read to you, he said, "Other things shall be added unto you." So it is the major prayers. The other ones, you just mentioned them, but this is the major one. And you know, in the university, if you miss your measure, you will have to do it all over again, because that's the measure. That's the major thing. It is the important thing. Every other prayer is by the side. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done is the major thing. Let me put it this way to you. Look at it, for instance. If you miss the will of God in your life, you miss it in every other prayer. If you miss the will of God, every other prayer, you will miss it. No matter the prayer you pray, it will be missed. Once you miss the will of God, that's why your prayer must be so strong. Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
Please. A serious approach is required in order to experience an enlargement. A serious approach. You cannot be casual with God and expect his blessings. You cannot be casual with God and expect his blessings. A serious approach is required in order to experience enlargement. You must make up your mind to engage God seriously. You can't take it casually and expect to get is a blessing from the Lord. No, God is not a Father Christmas, remember? I've said that again. I mean, God is not a Santa Claus. I've said that again, again, and again. And I'll keep saying it until you get it. Why? Because everything of value carries a cost. Everything of value has a cost attached to it. Everything. In fact, nothing in the kingdom is free. Even your salvation is not free. It cost Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his life. He cost God his only begotten Son. And even you, until you repent, you can't receive it. So that's what is attached. Until you repent, you can't receive Jesus. You can't get Jesus until you confess him as your Lord and Savior. So please, people of God, there's no free lunch anywhere. Let's get to the Word of God. Let's find out our path and do our part. You have to play your part. You can't afford to be casual in your relationship with God. You can't afford to be casual in your obedience to God. You have to engage with your heart. Your heart must be involved. Look at your neighbor and say to him or her, "Your heart must be involved."
Your heart must be involved.
Please involve your heart. If your heart is not involved, then you are just joking. Your heart has to be involved. When your heart is involved, it has taken you away from the casualist. Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at this in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 20. Let's start from verse 18, please. Verse 18, I'll read down to verse 22. The Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tent and have mercy on his dwelling place. The city shall be built upon its own mold, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan." What a mighty God. Every captivity that the enemy thought he has put you in, they are being recovered right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Look at what the Bible says in verse 19. The Bible says in verse 19, "Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
And the voice of those who make merry."
Hallelujah.
"I will multiply them." Is that not enlargement?
Mm-hmm.
I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. "I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before. and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppresses them. That includes all kinds of disease. Any disease that the enemy thought he has used to want to oppress you, God say, and when God punished the disease, that means you are healed completely. Are you hearing what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Verse 21 says, their nobles shall be from amongst them. That means nobility will begin to arise from among us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And their governors shall come from their midst in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then I will cause him to draw near. Now, this is where I'm going to. And he shall approach me. Now, look at this. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me? Who is this who pledged his heart to approach me? It is the reason why God is blessing them. It is the reason why God is multiplying them. It is the reason why God is causing them. It is because the man used his heart to engage God. The King James Version says, who is this that engaged his heart to approach me? It's coming from the heart, not being casual. It has to come from the heart. Your relationship with God, your approach with God must come from the heart. It is very, very important. You can't afford a casual approach. If you are going to experience enlargement in this season of enlargement, you must engage God with your heart. You have to. It is so important. It is with your heart. And heart engagement is what brings results. It's what caused you to be enlarged. Suddenly, you see, enlargement is coming from all corners. All corners. The word of God begins to come through to you. You begin to just experience the amazement of God's word. Do it with your heart. Again and again, you will see God saying it there. It takes your heart to serve God excellently. Without your heart, no. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 23. He says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. See what I will do, but let your heart come first. Let your heart come. You see, it takes heart. It takes the heart to secure the presence of God. It takes the heart to secure the presence of God. That's one good thing about King David. When God said to him, see, he said, my heart says, thy face I will seek. When God says, seek my heart, he said, my heart says, I will seek your face. You have to engage God with your heart. He's looking for your heart. He's looking, he wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth from your heart. That's how enlargement comes. Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
One of the major secrets that most people that excel with God has is passion. One of the most secrets that makes people to excel with God is passion. Everyone that excel with God, watch it, they have passion for God. Passion. Passion that cannot be stopped. You see, when you have passion, you are taking yourself away from the casual list. You have put yourself on the hotline with God. You have put yourself on the highway with God. Passion is very, very important. It makes Christianity beautiful. Passion. It takes the dullness out of Christianity. Passion is very, very important. And you know something about passion? When passion is in your heart, you will defy the fear that has crippled a lot of people. A man with passion knows no fear. A man with passion doesn't have one fear. Especially, I'm talking of passion for God. When you are passionate, you defy fear. You put fear aside. These words came very sweetly to me yesterday night. It was so good. When passion is in my heart, there's no iota of fear anymore. And go through the Bible, you will see it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were people that were passionate about God. So the burning fearfulness could not scare them. They were not scared at all. Esther, a lady with finesse, not even the king's decree and the protocol. She was going against the protocol of the whole empire. It couldn't scare her. Why? She was passionate about the God she served. Every man with passion puts fear away from his life. And you know the truth? Fear has crippled a lot of people. Fear will make you not to take action, even when you have capacity to destroy the enemy. Fear will render you, in fact, fear will cripple you. But passion for God will take you away. It will defy that fear. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And in this regard, we are going to look at the life of David and see how he capitalized on the passion in his heart and he excelled above all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But let me quickly say to you and I that passion is not a gift from heaven. Passion is not a gift from God. Oh, God bless that man with passion. No, passion is a choice. It's a choice that you and I have to make. Loving a person is not a gift from heaven. It is you that chose to love the person. I saw many ladies, but I chose to love my wife. I saw many ladies. It was my choice. I made a choice to love her. And she reciprocated by also loving me. The same thing with you that is married. So it is this. Look, loving God is not a gift. It is a choice you make. I'm going to love God with the whole of my heart. I'm going to be passionate with God. It is a choice. I made that choice long ago. You have to make that choice so that you can be passionate about God. You can pursue God with passion. Now, look at what happened in the life of David. Let's get to Israel. Let's get to the camp of the of Israel when they were fighting the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We just read some verses there. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, look at what happened. Let's begin from verse 8. This was Goliath. Chapter 17, verse 8. We'll read to verse 11. Now, this man Goliath was really scary looking. The description alone in the Bible is huge. The man was tall, heavy. And all over him, he wore all manner of Amos. And then the Bible says, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come up to line up for battle? Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. I love this. Just choose one man. I choose one man. The two engage. Whoever win the battle. So that, that was it. Now look at what happened. Verse 9. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of the Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You see that? This is a sign that none of them had passion for God. They were just religious folks. Religion does not bless you. It is your personal encounter with God that blesses you. It is your choice to love God that blesses you. Please understand. There must be passion coming from your heart for God. There must be something stirring up in the inside of you when the name of God is mentioned. You can't mention the name of my wife somewhere now and I will not turn back and look. There must be something drawing you when the name of God is mentioned. Because you have this passion. Now, can you imagine a whole army of Israel? I don't know how many numbers they are now, but I'm sure if I do a research, I will count. I will be able to find how many numbers. These men of valor, not that they don't have power to defeat Goliath. They had power to defeat Goliath, but Goliath put fear in them and they succumbed to the fear. Why? They had no passion for the God that they belong to. But here comes the difference. A man called David, the father called him. The father said, David, come. I will send you to the camp and go and see how your brothers are doing. And take this gift and give to the captains. And give to your brothers. So he said, okay. So he went. And just about that time as David went, as he was saying hello to his brothers and everything, suddenly Goliath came up. Verse 23. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion. That is, as David talked with his brothers, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Look at that statement. Dreadfully afraid. And the man kept saying, I defy the armies of Israel. And that touched David so much. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? To defy the army of Israel is David's statement. Look at it. David was so focused to take the shame away from Israel. Why? Passion. He was 17 years old at that time. It's like taking a risk. In fact, it's like he wanted to kill himself. That's what people would think. For a 17-year-old boy. And you know, if you read the story completely, you will discover there that he took just 5 stones. 5 stones with his sling to go and fight a man who has all the armor. And that was all. He didn't put on any armor. He was just bouncing and going in the glory of God. In the light of God, he was going. He was walking in the light of God. Why? You see, when you are passionate about God, you don't consider any other thing apart from God. Apart from God, you don't consider anything. David considered nothing. The Bible says, Abraham considered not his own body that was dead. All David was concerned about was the kingdom of God to take the reproach away from the kingdom of God. David was so focused on the kingdom of God. And for you and I, he says, this is the way to go for you and I. He said, this is the way to go. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You see, it is 2 things here that is involved. It's either you are praying or you are on the field going. For now, I'm advising us to be in the praying angle. And when you get the opportunity of the going, do it. Because God will always make opportunities. And you get what I'm talking about? God will make opportunities. Focusing on the kingdom. Look, it should be your major prayers. I'm telling you the truth. When you make it your major prayers, other things shall be added unto you. The things you asked for, the ones you didn't ask for, God will bring them to you. You need to, look, take God at his word. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, if you seek him first, let every morning, every night, my Father, pour forth your spirit upon this land. Pour out your spirit. Lord, we ask for your spirit. That's what Nehemiah did. He even went into fasting. He backed it up with fasting. Praying for the kingdom of God. Praying for Jerusalem. Now look at it, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Did you see that? And David dealt with that man. Strongly, David dealt with him. Are you understanding that? David killed. Now,
You see, when passion is in your heart, the advantages are just on your side. The angels are all around you. Oh, God of mercy. Look. I keep saying this. I believe one angel just took that catapult, that stone. As David slung the stone, the angel just took that thing with force and drove it into the head of Goliath. When passion is in your heart, when passion is at work in you, the angels are also at work in your life. When passion is at work in your life, the angels are also at work in your life. I tell you the truth. If you allow passion to drive your life, you will be amazed the result you will get. You will be amazed the result that will come to you. Things will begin to locate you. Things will begin. Men will go out of their way to favor you because you are walking with passion. Passion that cannot be denied. Others may not like it, but God loves it. And that's what is important. Are you hearing what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's what is important. It is very, very important that you allow this passion to drive your everyday. Let it drive you to prayer. Let it drive you to the study of the word. Let it drive you in your relationship with everyone you see. There's a smile on your heart, on your face. The passion of the Lord. Every time, there's this passion burning in the inside of you. When passion begins to burn in the inside of you, you will even begin to see better when you read the Bible. The Bible will be opening up for you. Words will be coming. Fire will be burning. You'll be wondering, I thought I read this last week. I read this last month. Why? There's passion in your heart. Passion. You see, when that passion comes into your heart, prayer is no longer struggle. You don't struggle in prayer. You pray with ease. You look forward to your time of prayer. You look forward to your time of fellowship in God's presence. You look forward to it because passion is at work in you. Look at your neighbor and say, you need passion in your life.
You need passion in your life.
Please say it with confidence.
You need passion in your life.
Say it with authority.
You need passion in your life.
I tell you the truth. You need passion in your life. You need passion. Now, let's look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you will see these were men that were passionate about God. Passionate. I mean, when passion comes, nothing can stop you. Nothing. Nothing can stop you. And that's what happened to these three boys, these three Hebrew boys. Nothing could stop them. Not even the dreaded king could stop them. Nebuchadnezzar at their time was such a powerful king that if he say you are dead, you are dead. What he says is final. But passion made the statement of the king to change. Why? Because when you have passion for God, all things work together for your good. When you have passion for God and when you are operating in it, not just keeping it in your heart, you let it overflow. You let it take over your life. When this passion is there, I tell you the truth, enlargement becomes easy. And that's how, because of that passion in the heart of David, he killed Goliath. He became the captain of Israel's army. He became the captain. And from there, he became the king of Israel. Is that not an enlargement? I tell you the truth. Passion in your heart will remove fear. And when fear is removed from your heart, you will do great things. You will do great things. The reason so many people have been trapped is because of fear. They are afraid. They are so afraid. What will happen to me? What will happen to, what will this happen? Will that not happen? But when that fear is out, you are able to take the necessary step according to God's word. And you begin to get enlargement everywhere. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you read in Daniel chapter 3, you see the story there. The king made a big statue of gold and asked everybody to bow down. But the passion in the heart of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to bow down to this God. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Hallelujah. No. But of course, do you think Daniel bowed down? Daniel didn't bow down. Definitely, it's just that those folks didn't see him to mention him. But of course, he did not bow down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? But of course, some folks, they said there are certain Hebrew boys. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time, if you make up your mind, if you change your mind, I will forgive you. But if not, I will throw you into the burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" What an insult. Glory to God. I'm sure this one sparked the three boys, their heart. Their passion multiplied times by 1,000, I'm sure. Look at it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar," can you imagine how they addressed him? They didn't say, "O king," anymore, because he has overstepped his bound. "O king," "O Nebuchadnezzar," that's what they said. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." That's passion talking. You see, when passion is speaking, you know. "We have no need to answer you in this matter. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if he chose not to do it, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." You see, this is what makes God to move. Some people, they say, "Oh God, I asked you for a pen and you didn't give me the pen. I won't serve you again." What a nonsense kind of talk is that? That's not passion working in that life. "Oh, I asked you for a car. I waited. You didn't give me the car. Therefore, I will not go to church again. Therefore, you are not true. Therefore, there is no God." No! Look at what this boy said here. They said, "In case God decided not to save us, we will still not bow down to your God. We will still not bow down to your God." And for that reason, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, verse 19. And the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded 70 mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, look at this. "Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." The heat was so hot. The fire was so hot that it killed these henchmen. They were killed. Are you understanding that? But look at what happened. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, enjoying themselves, relaxing." Glory to God. Before they got there, the God of enlargement was already there. Before the boys landed, before they landed the fire, God was already there. Jehovah, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ manifested there.
And God opened the eyes of King Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" Then they answered and said, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Why will this king see such a glorious image? Because of three boys who decided to exhibit passion. The time has come for you and I to exhibit passion. When you exhibit passion, start from where you are. Be passionate with your prayer. If it is 15 minutes you want to pray, give it the best 15 minutes of your life. If it is 30 minutes, give it the best 30 minutes of your life. Be conscious of the fact that you are in the presence of an invisible God who is watching you, who is seeing you, who is hearing you. And you will see how sweet communion with God can be. It is time for you to be passionate with God. Remember, engaging God with your heart. He delivered David from the hands of Goliath. It wasn't David that slew Goliath. It was the Holy Ghost that did it. It was the hand of God that did it. If you stone me now and the stone hit my forehead, it will not go into my skull. No, it won't. But when the force of God is behind it, it goes into the enemy's forehead. It is the force of God, God himself, that was present in that fire, that made that fire become air-conditioned room where these boys were having fellowship, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The time has come for you to be passionate. Will you rise up to your feet this morning, this night, please, so that we take a few moments to pray. A few moments to pray. Father, I want to be passionate for you. Lord, I want to be passionate for you. Lift up your voice and pray. Father, I ask for passion. Lord, I receive it. I make my choice. Revive my passion for you, God. You were once passionate about God. You were once excited about God. You were once very swift about God. There was a time you were so much in love with God. Ask God to revive that passion in your heart. Pray that God will revive the passion in your heart. God will revive your prayer life. God will revive passion in your heart. God, revive my prayer life. Revive my passion for you. Revive my passion for you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, I'm asking that you will revive my passion for you. Oh, God of mercy, let passion in my heart be bettered once again. Lord of mercy, let passion in my heart revive your passion in my heart. Revive your passion in my heart. Let the name of Jesus means the name of Jesus. Let fear depart from me because of passion. When you have passion in your heart, there's no room for fear. There's no room for fear. Come on, somebody, talk to God. Talk to God. This casual approach to God is not profiting you. It's not profiting you. It is not a casual approach we need. We need a passionate approach. We need a passionate approach. Therefore, ask God for passion in your heart. Oh, ask God that he will stir up the passion in your heart. He will revive the passion in your heart. There's already passion in your heart. There's already passion in your heart. But that the flame of God, the fire of God will touch that passion in your heart. The fire of God will touch that passion. Will somebody pray now, asking God to touch the passion in your heart. Let that passion in your heart be kindled once more. Let the flame of God put a kindle of that on that fire. Let that passion come alive again. Let that passion come alive. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The casual approach cannot do it. That's why you are where you are. You must change your approach. Casual approach cannot do it. Casual approach cannot do it. Change your approach. Be passionate about it. Be passionate about it. This is your time. Come on, someone. This is your time. I
want to experience enlargement, passion is the way to it. Passion will make you focus on God. Passion will make you focus on God. And when you are focused on God, you are focused on His kingdom. And when you are focused on God, you are focused on His kingdom. David was focused on the kingdom and he was lifted. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were focused on the kingdom, they were lifted. Paul the apostle was focused on the kingdom and he was lifted. Every man of passion, every woman of passion in the Bible experienced enlargement. Father, revive the passion in our hearts. Revive the passion of the love pavilion. Revive our passion, O God. Revive our passion. Revive our passion, O God. Revive our passion. Passion, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Passion is what you and I need. Passion will take our life forward. Passion will take disease and sicknesses away from your life. Passion for God will take poverty out of your life. Passion for God will put you in the right place at the right time. You will not miss your time.
Amen.
You will not miss your time.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Just before we take the communion tonight, if you're listening to this message, you've not given your life to Jesus, what an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. What an opportunity. Without Jesus, your heart is dry. There's no passion there. It's Jesus that caused you to be able to have passion for God. It is Jesus that makes it possible. Therefore, you want to receive Jesus into your life? I'd like you to pray this prayer, very sincere and short prayer with me. Say these words with me. Dear God in heaven, I come before you just as I am. I believe Jesus died for my sins. He rose up again the third day to justify me. Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you, Father, for writing my name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray for you that the hand of God will be with you. The passion of God will drive your vehicle. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.